I'm excited, overwhelmed by the love of God. God's love towards me, towards the believer, is exceedingly, the Bible says, exceeding, abundant. It's above what we can think. Today we're talking about we belong to God. And I'm persuaded that God at least will talk to one person in this meeting today.
Amen.
Amen. I feel incompetent to speak about God. But yet I am honored that God speaks to us next line. We belong to God. And there are four categories of people in church, most times. Those who belong to God, and they know it.
Yeah.
They know it. The next category. Oh, amazing. My color celebration was not good enough. The light is quite bright.
Can I put the light out?
I wish. I thought I picked a good color for you. Can we manage it? It says, those who don't belong to God, and they know it. Amen.
Amen.
There are people in church, they know they don't belong to God. God knows they don't belong to Him. So there are those of us who belong to God, and we know it. Paul said, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit, Romans 8, that we are children of God, so we know it. Paul said to Timothy that the Lord knows those who are his. So, and those who are his also know him. Now, the third category, those who don't belong to God and don't know it. Now, this is a terrible situation to me. They are in church. They don't belong to God, but they don't know. Jesus said on the Sunday, I'm going to say, I never knew you. Jesus is not going to lie. He never knew them. And amazingly, they did miracles. How? When Jesus was leaving, he said, by this shall men know you are my disciples when you do miracles. No. When you love one another. Miracles do not reveal who a child of God is. That's human explanation. Not the word of God. So we better do well to follow the word of God. That we are not deceived. This category are also products of teachings in the church. They have believed falsehood and they sincerely thought and think that they belong to God. You ask a question, brother, I want to share the word of God with you. Do you know the Lord Jesus? Say yes.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. And water baptized. I'm telling you valid answers people are giving. I'm not making it up. You are going to hell. Water baptism cannot replace the blood of Jesus that is meant to baptize you. You are going to hell with the person that baptized you. Possibly that's the way he also taught it us. Listen. Brother, how do you know you are going to hell? I pay tithe. You and tithe will be in hell together. How dare you replace the soul, the spirit of the Son of God paid on the cross of Calvary, and then you compare that with something you did? Isaiah 64 verse 6 says, man is an unclean thing, and all his righteousness. Man is unclean, man is unrighteous. All his good works, not his dead works, are filthy before God. All your good works are smelly before God. What can come out of death? I said death. And there is the last group. Where is it? Are you there?
For that.
Those who belong to God and don't know it. There are those who actually belong to God, but they don't know it. They are also product of teachings. They have heard that something happened between them and God has deserted them. God abandoned them. God is no longer keeping his word. God is a liar. He said, I will be with you till the end. But no, he changed his mind. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but he forsook you. They thought them. Yes? How many of us? Let me see your hand. You abandon your children for what they did wrong. Raise your hand. You deny them completely. You are no longer my child. Raise your hand. But God will do that, right? You will not do that to your children. But God will do that to his own children. God will judge you. Do not lie to the children of God. If they are children, they are children. They may be bad children. God disciplines them.
Yeah.
That's what I do to my daughter. I don't disown her for all the wrong things she has done. I correct her. Sometimes she doesn't listen. I still correct her. And she doesn't listen. And I talk to the mom, what shall we do? I do not have all knowledge. I do not have all capacity. I still care that way for my child. But you tell the children of God that because that brother did something wrong, which is wrong, if a believer sin, it's a sin. But don't mix up his activities with his identity.
Amen.
He belongs to God, he belongs to God. Let me tell you what will happen to this person. You will meet this person in heaven, but his earth experience will have been terrible because you told him he doesn't belong and he went out and he's going to suffer outside.
Yeah.
His testimony on earth will be mad. They will be one of those that will be A's, but by fire they will be saved on the last day because they belong to God. But their works will be burnt. You have not allowed that person to stay with his father, repent, recover, and make progress.
Yeah.
You have told them that, look, God is upset at you, and therefore, don't come back home.
Yeah.
Look at what you did. How can you do this after God saved you? As if you, who is talking, you have not done anything. The psalmist tells us that if the Lord were to mark transgression, who will stand? Is that Psalm 133 or Psalm 130? Who will stand? Not even your pastor. I don't see any pastor that can raise his hand. No one qualifies by work. Listen, what you hear will determine your experience on this earth. It doesn't determine your destination, but it can determine your experience. And Paul warns, he said, let no man rob you with the vain word. If you and I are going to make impact in this nation, we must first settle on our identity.
Yeah.
Let me see. The first one, I picked up this picture. The first, go back. This is about those who know God. God knows them. Don't you like that experience? No trouble, just walking with your dad anywhere, unafraid. Unashamed. This is what God wants us to do.
Amen.
He wants to hold us. He leads us. The psalmist knew it. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though I may be in trouble, I may have disobeyed and not listened to him, but I will not be afraid because my shepherd will help me out.
Yeah.
He will not abandon me. Stop telling people that God will abandon them. You are making God a liar that he will not keep his promise. Tell them what is wrong and how to repent, how to make progress. Don't lie to them that their father changed his mind. The father himself gave us an example of the story we call the prodigal son. The limitation in that example is that the father had to wait for the son to return, because the father doesn't know all things. He doesn't know all things. God does not wait for anyone to return. Even unbeliever, Bible says he's knocking at the door of their heart.
Yeah.
He's there with unbelievers. So how will he not be there with believers? When you were not in him, he was with you. Now you belong to him, he will leave you. That's confusion. That confuses me. How can God be present when I didn't want him? And now that he has saved me, he left me.
Yeah.
Secondly, are you saying that when God saved you, he didn't know all things that would happen to you? When he made the promise to you, when he gave you that blank check to write eternal life, he knew the things you can still do. But do you know what Jesus said in John chapter 17 from verse 9 to 12? He prayed to the Father. He said, please keep the words you have given me. Father, keep them. When I was on earth, I kept them. Don't ever forget, it is Jesus that is keeping you. It's not you that is keeping Jesus. In John chapter 6, Jesus said that this is the will of the Father, that of all that he has given me, I should lose none. It's my responsibility. I should lose none. I am the one that must not lose them. It's my duty to keep them. If you could keep yourself, you don't need Jesus.
Amen. Yeah.
What am I saying to you today? We belong to God. Don't let anyone lie to us. If you have confessed the name of Jesus and believe that he died for your sins on the cross and that God raised him from the dead, you are saved.
Amen.
If you believe the testimony of God, you are saved. Not by your works. Your works will not be sufficient. And all of your works are counted but dogs. Let's look at the next picture. These are those who they don't belong to God and they know it. They don't want to hear it. Don't even say it. The only reason they come in sometimes is to find a good sister. Because they know good sisters are in the church. But they don't want God. They want godly sisters. Someone that can give them peace of mind. But they don't want God that gives those sisters the peace of mind. Let's look at the next picture. These are those who don't belong to God and they don't know it. And here, this picture in my mind represents what we see. Think about it. The man of God that Jesus said to, I never knew him. And was doing miracles in his church. How did his members see him? They saw this. They saw a great man worship. They saw power of God. But on the last day, Jesus said, you know what? Don't be deceived by appearance. What saves a man is not the activities, but the identity. Who are you? Can I go to the last one and then we'll progress quickly? And this is the face. Those who belong to God and don't know, this is how they are. They can see glory through that. They see glory. It's not far away from them. There's something telling them this is the light. But we've told them they will stay in the dark, that they don't belong. And then they can see the rest of us in the light of God's goodness. They can see through. We hinder them from freely coming. For example, I'll give you a person did something wrong and couldn't come to church because he did something wrong. The question is, when you do something wrong, where are you supposed to go?
Yeah.
The church. Because it's in the church you'll meet the pastor. Yeah. And then you will talk about what you went through. And then he's going to pray for you and say, the Lord strengthens you. Why will he not come to church? Identity. Well, he feels shame. Why should a person run away from us? Shouldn't they gravitate towards us when they have trouble and say, please help me out? Therefore, we as Christians need to be careful that we do not put others in this state.
Yeah.
Where they truly belong to God, but we are shielding them from the glory of God. We are denying them the opportunity to actually come.
Amen.
It's not an opportunity for you to claim, I belong to God, I can live anyhow. That equation tells us you don't even belong to God. If knowing that God loves you extremely means you live anyhow, we know you don't belong. But we cannot say, because people can misuse the love of God, we will therefore not tell them that God loves them. You must tell them. Look at what Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I'll read few texts and I'll close. I mark there, Paul said he's amazed, he's astonished. I marvel that you are so removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. What has happened? The entire book of Galatians was a book of the book. It's not a book Paul wrote to explain doctrine. It was a book to a church that have abandoned the grace of God. Can you imagine coming to church? And Pastor Mel is talking to us and he said, "Oh, you foolish life center members." How many people will come back? If Pastor Mel were to call us foolish, will you be in church next week? Or will you be so upset and not return? Paul called the Galatians church foolish. That how can glory be handed over to you and then you throw it down to pursue something that has no glory in the light of the glory that you have? Some people taught them another gospel. These people became born again, miracles happened, and then somebody came that you need to obey certain instructions in the law of Moses again, otherwise you are not saved. Paul concluded in Galatians chapter 5, between verse 2 and 3, if you go back to the law of Moses, you are falling from grace. Christ will profit you nothing. Moses was sent by Jesus, and Jesus has come. You can't be listening to Moses. It's an insult. The Lord sent Moses. Moses was faithful in all of the houses of God. But it's an insult to listen to Moses when Jesus is around. Hebrews chapter 10, chapter 12, verse 1. It said, God at sundry times and in various manner spake to our fathers by the prophets, but hath in this last day spoken by his son. And then began to talk about the son. That let's take a look at of all of God's angels or whoever you want to exalt, which of them has not said, sit at my right hand, today I'll be begotten you. Hebrews chapter 1. That was Hebrews chapter 1, not Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, that's the beginning of Hebrews. But the entire chapter, which I think is about 13 verses, talks about the glory of Christ and his supremacy to all created beings. Therefore, if you have heard from prophets before, you have heard from angels before, and Jesus speaks, you listen to Jesus. Not what the prophet said. Not what the angel said. This is why Jesus could stand and say, you are there, it has been written this way. I say this to you. It changes things because he gave the first instruction. They were in wrong. They were useful for those times. But now, this is the full episode. You are there, an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. Who gave the instruction? Jesus. Who did he give it to? Moses. But say, I change it now. And when it is changed, you can't go back to the old version. To go back to the old version is to count the word of God not sufficient. You must understand, he has spoken in these last days. And the testimonies of these last days are different from the testimonies of old. That's why you are not bringing goats to the church for us to keep for your sin offering. If you do, I don't know what to do. That would be food in my house. Because something changed. The law changed. The principle changed. God has now spoken by his son. And so Paul went on to say, I will see in Galatians, we move. I'm sorry. I have so much to say, and I know I have limited time. And I will say it in the name of Jesus. Verse 8. It says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be worthy of eternal condemnation. Listen, if we, the apostle, preach another gospel or an angel, not a demon, by the way, we know demons are not evil spirits, an angel from heaven, if God were to open your eyes and you can see an angel moving from heaven, from the throne of the Father, and to come to this church and teach us something different from what is contained in the Bible, he says that angel was a curse. Don't believe it for what you have seen, because these truths cannot be changed. It's complete already. Look at the next one. Verse 9. And as we have said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that that you have received, let him be accursed. Let him be worthy of eternal condemnation. For I do not persuade men. In essence, my ministry is not to please men. Or do I seek to please men? He asked. For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. The things we teach is not so that you can fall within the remit of what the church believes. It's what Christ said. It doesn't matter how long the church has been teaching it. If it is not by Mika, it's not by Mika. It's not about who taught it. It's about who revealed it. What we seek to understand is what is revealed. What did God teach? What did God say? This is the way to know. And God says that if you belong to Him, He will keep His promise towards you. He's not going to change His mind. And so God said, if anybody teach you any other doctrine, Deuteronomy 13 verse 1, if there arise among you a prophet, or a dreamer of dreams, or and give signs and a wonder, if the sign or the wonder comes to pass, if there is someone gifted among you, and the person prophesied and told you this will happen, and it does happen, indeed, but the person now tells you something else to depart from the Lord, do not follow. It's a principle God is telling you. Don't follow. It doesn't matter what came to pass. You judge by the integrity of the word of God, not the experience. For not all the things you see are as they are. Don't look through the eye. How can we not follow someone that says, in the name of God, blind eye open, and the eye open, and you're telling us to follow? How many eyes have you opened? You that say you should not follow it, how many eyes have you opened? God wants you. Don't follow men, follow His word. The word of God is the sure prophecy to which, if we pay Him, we will save our souls. One of the songs we're singing today, to see you like me, just as you are, just as you are. The glory of Christ is in the scriptures. If you follow it, you are walking in His glory. The glory of Christ is in the scriptures. If you walk in it, you are walking in the glory of Christ. Many people are walking in the glory of men of God. Be careful. The word of God is what you need. You and I will not be here what you need. The word of God is a sure prophecy. Don't follow the scripture says. The Lord is testing you. Let me make progress a little. Don't follow him. So what did Paul say is again in Galatians? Just follow me as I think through this text. We cannot change the world until we ourselves are changed. And the gospel is the power of God to salvation. We must be teaching the gospel. We must be preaching the gospel, nothing else. Nothing else. Oh, come to church and your destiny will change. You'll be rich. You will reach and be going to hell. Jesus told us, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world? In fact, Jesus tells you, do not lay up treasure for yourself on earth. That is the doctrine of Jesus. The richest men on earth are not Christians. They are not Christian. The most brilliant are not necessarily Christians. Why? Because the kingdom of our God is not the kingdom of this world. Yeah. Our glory is not yet, it's not this world. If it's about this world, then we already failed. How many Christians are ministers, presidents? How many? That means we failed. But no, we're not. If only in this world. what we have hope in Christ. We are all made most miserable. Paul said, our hope is not about this world. It's about the world that is incorruptible, undefiled, that faith not in me. It's reserved for us in heaven. It's about an end that no one can change, written by the blood of Christ. He said, that world I will wipe away your tears. There shall be no more sorrow, no more pain. That promise belongs only to those who are born again.
Right.
Hallelujah. It might just be that your Lord becomes like Lazarus. It might be that you are a rich man. Whatever it is that you have on earth, do not use it to define who you are in Christ. Who you are in Christ is that person that is seated together with him in the heavenly places.
Yeah.
Ephesians 2:6. That's who you are. You are seated in his glory. He loves you and is keeping you. He said, no weapon fashioned against you will prosper. He said it already. You don't need a man. Sister, sorry. You don't need a man. It's not a man, it is the truth. Even if you don't say amen, the power is. Listen, when Satan wanted to attack Job, what did he tell God? Are you not the one that has built an edge? Is it because Job said amen? Job didn't even know. But Satan knew. And you are running. Satan knows he cannot attack you. There is an edge built around you. And except permission is granted, he cannot gain. And you are afraid. We flip the thing. Listen, the integrity of God's word, hallelujah, it says no weapon fashioned against you. It's a promise. The promise keeper will keep it.
Amen.
Even if you don't say
amen.
The reason I'm saying it to you is important. Listen, I need to bring you to the integrity of God's word. That is not your amen that made it to happen. I want you to say, to know that this is God's promise, and I hold on to this promise. I want you to hold on to it. You can say amen and forget. I'll still be running after church. But if you understand what I'm telling you, blessed are you. Because the enemy will come your way. But when you remember that, it's a scripture. No weapon. No weapon. When the enemy comes against me, I rebuke the enemy. That's what the Bible says. I don't go on my knees to pray. I rebuke because I've been given authority against the enemy. How can the enemy be sending me? When I want to pray for the nation to be saved, I go on my knees. When we see evil happen, we go on our knees. But when you come against me, he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world.
Amen.
I speak. He said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Go on your knee. Resist. Tell the devil, no. I'm saved. I have power over you. If you go on your knee, he will come next time. He wants to. He knows that you won't do the other one because he wants to threaten you. But when he knows that you will not fall for his threat, like he did to Jesus, he will leave you for a time.
Yeah.
He left you for a time. He left you. You must do what Jesus did. He resisted the devil. He showed us an example. He rebuked the devil and the devil left him. Know your rights. Tell somebody, know your rights.
Know your rights.
All right. 7 minutes. Hallelujah. 7 minutes. The Lord is helping. Who knows? By the door, Jesus might come. I will just. If you don't see me, I am gone. I'll stay there. Hallelujah. Look at what it says. Isaiah 55 verse 7. I like the way it says, isn't it wicked to see his ways? Because that's important. And your righteous man is spot. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for you are abundantly pardoned. Maybe you haven't been heard. You are sick. You're trying to understand what this Christianity is about. This is your opportunity. Because God is able to save to the uttermost. He's able to, it's what I just said now is in the scriptures, Hebrews. He's able to save to the uttermost. What means that if he saves you, he can't lose you. Because he saved you. and is able to keep you from falling. The scripture says, another scripture, is able to keep you from falling. Those are promises of God. And if you trust yourself on Him and say, Lord, help me, He will. He will come. And Isaiah said, He will abundantly pardon. What does that mean? He won't just forgive a part of your life, He will forgive all. He will wipe away your sins. And the psalmist put it this way. He said, as the east is far from the west. Is it the west?
Yes.
As the east is far from the west, so the Lord has removed our iniquities from us. The dimension is that east and west will never meet. So that God separates that which could have condemned us from all, so that we can be free. And that's why that word is true, that He that the Son sets free is free indeed. He that the pastor sets free is already. Listen, it is only those that Jesus, if you don't know the difference, let's not send people to hell. This is what Jesus has warned me personally against since 1998. Integrity of His word.
Amen.
I must be truthful to His word, even if it attack my approaches. I must give up. That word must be exalted. It's about the word of God, not the words of men. And we know we're not serving Him. Now, let me now show you the next thing. So if you turn to God, look at what it says. Verse 8. Because He pardoned you so much, how can God forgive me this much? Look at what it says. He said, for my thoughts to pardon you are different from your thoughts. That's my addition. Because He said, you are abundantly pardoned. You know that scripture, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. But if you read it in context, it's explaining something. I'm going to pardon. And I say, because my thoughts are not your thoughts. You might think you have sinned so much that God cannot forgive you. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I will forgive you. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I have chosen to forgive you, and I will still forgive you. That's what this scripture is saying when it says God's thoughts. Because His ways are higher than our ways. It's a promise. And you know that song? He's a promise keeper. I know we go very soon. Let me close this meeting. But I'll read the scripture anyway. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but waters the earth while it is coming, it must achieve the purpose. That's what it's saying. Some people might say the rain goes back. But the rain will never go back until it first touches the earth. When it fulfills its purpose, it goes back precipitation. But it must first touch the earth. So is His word. That's what the scripture says. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the place where I send. The point is, if God says He will pardon you, He's saying that word will be fulfilled. It will not be terminated. And if you take that word as a comfort, blessed are you. Isaiah 49, verse 13. Sing, O earth, and be joyful. O earth, break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted His people, and will have mercy upon His afflicted. But Zion said, Lord, have forsaken me. My Lord have forgotten me. And God raises the question, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes. God is going to say, yes. They may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Thy words are continually before me. God has left me Oh, God has left me. The Holy Spirit left me. If the Holy Spirit leaves you, you are going to hell. You are irredeemable. Because he can't redeem you twice. If the Holy Spirit leaves you, because the Holy Spirit, the one Jesus said he will send, he said he will abide with you forever. If you are then left, you can never be saved. You are bound for hell. The hottest part. Deep. To be close to where Satan himself will be. His promise is that he will not leave you. So talk to him. Make reconciliation. Tell him if you have grieved the Spirit, talk to the Spirit and say, I'm sorry. I didn't intend to. This is not the way of life. Help me to recover. Help me to continue with the things you want to teach me. For he's there. He will never leave you. Keep your mind in him. Hallelujah. So what do we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be? God took a risk. He gave his son to save people who are by nature deceitful. People by nature corrupt, evil, wicked. God took a risk and gave his son. It wasn't that he didn't know what we'll be doing in Scotland now. He knew everything that we'll be doing all over the world. But he still said it's worth it. It's worth it. And if you are the only one that will believe on earth, Jesus will still have come for you.
Yeah.
He will still have come. Yeah. So he came to demonstrate his commitment to you. And I want you to hold on to his promise that he is a promise keeper. Yeah. When he gives promise, he keeps it. He doesn't change his mind along the way. When he was talking to Joshua, he said, did I not tell you to be strong and be courageous? Because I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Joshua was also asking that question. Will you be with me the way you were with Moses? God said, yes, I will be with you. Because when we see our frailties, we see our inadequacies, we see all the errors that we've done, and we wonder, can a glorious God, a holy God, be with us in this kind of state? The answer is yes. We were worse. We were worse before we came to him. He will stay with you. He is a faithful father. He is not one that praises those who do well and casts away those. He's there. He helps all of us. And we all need different levels of grace to come in. Maybe some of us listen quick. Some others, he needs to be a lot more patient. But God has all that patience. He's ready to help. He's there. I want you to go through the journey of life with peace of mind that God is with you. No matter what you're going through, God is with me. I belong to God. I belong to you.
You're a good father. So you are. So you are. So you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.